Yashodana Nandana Vajrajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvachakacharya Astatara Sattva Sri Srinadas Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura, Text 44. Siddhan Vidyadarams Chaiva Tirodhanena Sosrajat Tebhyo Dadat Tam Atmanam Antardanakyam Adbhutam Siddhan Vidyadaram Shaiva Tirodhane Nasosrajat Tevyo dadat tamatmanam Antardana kyamad bhutam Siddhan vidyadaram shaiva Tirodhane na sotraja Tevyo dadat tamatmanam Antardana kyamad bhutam Siddhan vidyadaram shaiva Tirodhane na sosrajat Tevyo dadat tamatmanam Antardana kyamad bhutam
Thank you.
Vaishnavis. Siddhan, the Siddhas, Vidyadharan, Vidyadharas, Chaeva, and also Tirodhanena, by the faculty of remaining hidden from vision. Saha, Lord Brahma, Asurjat, created Tebya, to them Adadat, gave Tamatmanam, that form of his Antardana Akyam, known as the Antardana Adbhutam, wonderful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. No? No, thank you. Thanks for asking. Translation. Then Lord Brahma, by His ability to be hidden from vision, created the Siddhas and the Vidyadharas and gave them that wonderful form of His known as the Antardana. Purport. Antardana means that these living creatures can be perceived to be present, but they cannot be seen by vision. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. It's a short purport, but Srila Prabhupada mentions the Antardana potency and the Vidyadharas. So I'm going to say a few things about them from Srila Prabhupada's books. Antardana power, it's a mystic power, and it means that one can appear and disappear according to one's will, if one has this mystic power. And the Vidyadharas have it. I also have it. I appear when there's prasadam and disappear when there isn't. There are many different kinds of entities who have been given this power or who have developed it. And some of them display it and some don't. Like a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada has all the mystic powers but doesn't always display them. So one creature who did display this power was Lord Indra. When Prithu Maharaj was performing his horse sacrifices, Indra, as he sometimes does, became a little concerned. You know, he's always a little concerned when he sees someone trying to do things that he's done, like he was famous for performing a good number of horse sacrifices, I think 100, something like that. And he was worried somebody was going to break his record. So he went to the arena of sacrifice and he used his Antardhana power to make himself invisible, and he took the horse, stole the animal of sacrifice, so Maharaj Prithu wouldn't be able to break his record. But Maharaj Prithu had a son, Vijitashva, and Vijitashva could see Indra, even though nobody else could. And he decided to cut Indra some slack. Even though he saw him and he saw what he was doing, he decided, okay, I'm not going to say anything. You know, he's a powerful demigod. He knows what he's doing, so he just let him do it. So Indra saw that, and he later gave him the benediction of this Antardhana power, that he would also have it. And he also gave him the name Antardhana. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's known as King Antardhana, one of the descendants of Prithu Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj also had this power. He used it in his battles with the demigods. You know, he disappeared during a battle with the demigods and then began using his mystic powers to rain down all kinds of strange things, weapons coming from a big mountain that just appeared floating over the heads of the demigods on the battlefield, and burning trees and sharp rocks started falling on their heads, and then bodies of animals like elephants, tigers, lions came raining down, and all kinds of things, more and more powerful, came raining down until Krishna had to come and dissolve the illusion by himself. So these Vidyadharas had this power. They're also known as having great musical ability and the ability to travel through outer space without the aid of a Vimana or any kind of spacecraft. You know, they had that ability. And the Vidyadharis, the female Vidyadhara group, they had a reputation of being very beautiful and also proficient at music, and they had, of course, these mystic powers also. So the Vidyadharas, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, inhabit a level close to our earthly level. There's Bhumandala and then Antariksha, which is the residence of the Yakshas and the Rakshasas. Then beyond that is the level occupied by the Vidyadharas and the Siddhas. And the Siddhas also have these abilities to move through space without the aid of any mechanical device like an airplane or a spaceship. So beyond the level of the Rakshasas and Yakshas is the level of Vidyadharas. So they're considered to be demigods, but they're a lower level of demigod. And Srila Prabhupada, in his Bhagavatam purports, characterizes them as celestial species of the human variety. So they would be considered among the different human species that exist in the cosmos. So Maharaj Chitraketu was of course, there's a whole elaborate story of him, which I won't get into, but he was instructed by Narada Muni to, and Angiras Maharaj Muni, to engage in certain spiritual practices and meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he did that, but because he had some desire still left, as Srila Prabhupada sometimes says, he appeared next as a Vidyadhara, and he would travel around with a group of Vidyadharis chanting the names of Lord Hari. And once he was flying over the abode of Lord Shiva, and he happened to see Shiva and Parvati together, Parvati sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva in the midst of some sages. So he laughed at that, and because of that he got cursed by Parvati. But anyways, that's another whole story. Getting back to the Vidyadharas, there's an account in the 10th canto and in Krishna book where Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men decide to go to Ambikavan to worship Lord Shiva. And they go out there and they spend the night. So the residents of Vrindavan are there at Ambikavan. They go to sleep at night. And then there was a big serpent there that came and got Nanda Maharaj, attacked him. And the cowherd men, they heard the noise and they got up and they had their torches and they were hitting the snake, the serpent. He wouldn't let Nanda Maharaj go. Finally, Krishna came and touched the serpent with his foot, and it turned into a Vidyadhara. And Krishna asked him, well, who are you? You know, that you've appeared like this. What were you doing in the form of a serpent? And he explained, I am the Vidyadhara Sudarshan, was his name. And he described how once he had been, as Vidyadharas do, flying around, and he noticed Angira Muni and said, laughed at him and said, wow, you are so ugly. And yeah, he was kind of joking. But he was cursed to take the form of the serpent. So he was liberated by the touch of Krishna's foot. So he paid his obeisances to Krishna and requested permission to go back to Vidyadhara Loka. So he did that. So, the yogis, by performing severe austerities and the mystic yoga process can develop powers like this. But yogi nam api sarve shamad gatena taratmana shadaran bhajate yuam same yuktatamo mataha. Krishna explains that the topmost yoga is bhakti yoga, the performance of pure devotional service. So the devotees, the pure devotees, they don't have any desire to develop these mystic powers. They see them as a distraction. And even if they do have them and are able to do it, they generally don't do it. But as Srila Prabhupada pointed out in the example of Chitraketu, because he was, although he was traveling around with a bunch of Vidyadharis, he was chanting the holy names of the Lord. So it was a step in the right direction for him. So I'll stop there. Does anyone have any question or comment? Yes.
Thank you for a very nice, interesting class. Almost sounds like a little sci-fi, but we know that it's true, and these things that we are hearing are beyond our normal perception or understanding. So I just wanted to emphasize or re-emphasize what you had already said about Srila Prabhupada mentions that these mystical powers are not necessarily useful or valuable or desirable. Srila Prabhupada said these are useful only if, first of all, if you have no false ego, and if the Lord himself orders you, use this power, if it's to be small or to be a giant or to fly in the sky, use it at my wish, but don't use it at your whim. Because if you do that, what will happen is that you will just get puffed up in your glory and you will lose those powers. So therefore, sometimes I see devotees say, hey, well, it'd be great if I could become small, or I can be invisible, I can be I. Some of these I's are totally worthless and useless. If our real goal, our true goal, our highest goal is to not only serve Krishna, but to lovingly serve him in such a way that he is pleased. And if we accomplish that, we have accomplished everything worthwhile in human life, because such a person will go back home, back to Godhead, and never have to come back here, and will have the joy of lovingly serving Krishna as he himself wants that devotee who has become so friendly and so kind and sweet to him. So, therefore, it's not something desirable to have all that. However, if Krishna wants you to have it and tells you to have it and explains why you should have it, you should do it. But on our own whim, our own decision, it can be very dangerous and can be nothing more than an ego flight in which we think we're great, big, grand, amazing, spectacular, above everyone and everyone. If we develop this type of a mentality, it is very, very serious and terrible for a devotee. Because instead of becoming humble, he's becoming, in his own mind, super excellent. And that's the worst mentality a devotee can have. If he thinks himself as just insignificant, worthless, good for nothing, but if he has certain powers, those powers belong to God. And belonging to God, he gives credit to God. So when somebody says, oh, you did this, this is wonderful. Oh, that was wonderful. So the devotee says, well, praise, you're praising me, but really you should be praising God, because God is the one who is responsible for giving me them and ordering me to use them. So, therefore, keep God in your sight, and this body that you're seeing will disappear in due course of time and really has no value in and of itself. Its only value is to do the will of the Lord and the service of the Lord, and that's it. Thank you.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a lovely class. Can you clarify about the point where Bali Maharaj was casting down all kinds of weapons and, you know, fantastic things like animals, and then afterwards you said that, you know, Krishna dissolved the illusion, but does that mean the illusion actually had a physical manifestation while it was an illusion, like it could actually crush the opposing armies or actually injure them, or was it just, it kind of sounds like that. Can you explain that?
It said in the verses I was reading that sharp stones were falling, you know, big stones with sharp edges, and they were striking the demigods. So it appears they had some effect on it. But if you want to take it to a deeper level, I think it's still a question. Because Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, okay, we may have a dream at night in which, you know, a tiger is attacking, but really there's no tiger. He said, our daydream, you know, our experience during the day, we call real because it lasts longer. You know, so ultimately, you know, it could be a question that what we call real, how ultimately real is it in the bigger scheme of things? What's real is what's eternal. And what's eternal is the soul and its relationship with Krishna. But in our illusion state of consciousness, we may experience these things as having what we call physical reality. But it's not that it's an illusion, you know. I mean, we say for practical purposes the universe is real. It's not an illusion. It's produced by something that's real. It's like a virtual reality system. It's produced by something that's real. And this universe is ultimately produced by something real. That reality which produces it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, deep question. Yes, Swavas.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful presentation. In the purport, Prabhupada mentions that these creatures, they can be perceived to be present, but they cannot be seen by vision. Could you say something about that? What does that mean, to be perceived?
I was thinking about that. You know, sometimes I have the experience. You know, I mean, once in San Diego, this is many years ago, it's not like a huge, big thing, but Yeah, I was in an apartment, and I was going into the kitchen and opening a cabinet and reaching for a glass. And as I was reaching, I just felt this presence. And then my hand went, glass fell on the floor and broke. You know, it's a minor thing, but, you know, like, sometimes you feel a presence of some entity. Now, whether that entity is a ghost and is forced to be invisible in that sense, or some entity like Vidyadhara that voluntarily becomes invisible for some purpose, I can't say. But sometimes people do feel the presence of some personality that's invisible.
Yeah.
Can't be seen. Does anybody else have anything on that?
On that same point, isn't there some kind of pastime where Prabhupada was with devotees and they were having, I guess, a class or kirtan, I don't recall. But something like they were having a kirtan and the devotees were thinking that no one was there. And Prabhupada made a statement that that's not true. There's so many here, like Narada Muni's here.
Yeah, well, he in that case, he could feel the presence or perceive the presence, but apparently the devotees weren't.
Right. They were thinking it was very empty.
Sachidanoy, then Naikatma, then...
I just want to relate one personal experience in regard to perceiving. When I was a young man, one time a person came, and for some circumstance of teenager's life, he wanted to beat me up. And I didn't feel any anger, I didn't feel any enmity, but the person is coming to attack me, and I thought, well, I guess I have to defend me, but I don't feel any anger or any fear, nothing. But this person is coming to attack me. So then somehow or other he starts throwing punch at me and punch, and I'm not feeling anything. And I feel like somebody's doing just like with a finger like this, but actually he was doing with a fist. But I was feeling, why is he poking on my body? And suddenly, somehow or other, this person just, you know, like flew in the ground. Like if he fell down, and I said, I didn't do anything. What's wrong with you? What happened? And then this guy started like shaking. And I thought, no, calm down. It's okay. I'm not going to kick you. I'm not going to kick you. So the whole time my life was, and many other experiences like that similar happened to me. And I thought, in the material world, they call this your, how do you say, your guard angel. Something like that, they always mention. So maybe that's related to beings being there, but you cannot see them, but you can feel them.
Naikatma. And then.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. There's a real nice pastime that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would experience occasionally, and in the evening at night he would sometimes walk out into the dark, and his servants could hear him speaking to someone, and they would go out there and see what was happening, and it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just standing there by himself, and he was speaking as if to the air or something. And he would turn around and say, don't you see them? There's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, the Panchatattva, the Goswamis. And they would be just confused. and then he would just go off into the dark. So, there, you know, we may not, with our material eyes, see such beings, but they're there. And Prabhupada explains it in the previous purports that these beings, they just become invisible. That means invisible to the material eyes. But there's still, you can still perceive that there's something there. It's just an interesting experience or account of Srila Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur.
Thank you for the wonderful class, and Naikama Prabhu kind of already touched base on it. But in the Krishna book, it says at the sacrifices by Maharaj Yudhisthira that the common man could actually see the demigods. They would appear. And I've heard that in Kali Yuga that it's so degraded here that the demigods just cover themselves. Is there anything else in Shastra that... But I haven't read it personally in Shastra, so is there anything that makes it clear that in this Yuga we're kind of covered? Because in all our Srimad Bhagavatam artwork, you can see that the demigods are and the human beings are interacting. But in this Yuga, it doesn't seem to be like perceivable. Or we can't see it.
I don't remember right offhand any exact citation from Shastra that I give you. I can just say that I recall reading that they don't come because in Kali Yuga the sacrifices aren't being performed for them. Okay, Maharaj wanted to make a point.
When Satchitanoy Prabhuji was telling that particular story, it reminded me of, number one, is that sometimes there are angels or semi-divine beings who act as assistants to the Supreme Lord to do certain types of service. And I have my own personal experience, which is very similar. Sometimes they give us our bad karma, sometimes they give us our good karma. But by good, I mean those things which are pleasant, peaceful, and bad, I mean those things which are terrible and harmful and painful. So, they're invisible. You cannot see them. An example, I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, like this, and I'm just kind of musing, so to speak, and suddenly I hear a clap like that, and it's on my head, and I fall forward and go unconscious, and then I slowly wake up, and I said, it sounds and felt like somebody just whacked me and banged me so that I fell on the floor. And when I came to, I could hardly speak, and my mouth was gone. And my proof is Shyam Rari. He happened to have come in to my room at that time, and he saw me, and I was kind of shaking a little bit in the hand and unable to really speak the way I normally would. So I had something coming to me, and that was the way it came. Anyway, it disappeared in 15, 20 minutes as if it never had happened. But it was painful when I got whacked. It was painful when I banged on the ground. And it was peaceful as I came back to normal consciousness. So Krishna does the good and the bad, but it's all good. Okay.
Satchanoy, you had something.
Dutta Karma Prabhu, you please correct me in this. The question that he asked, if there are still living beings or angels coming, in reference to Shastra, I just remember that, I don't know if it fits the explanation, that 500 years ago, a few devotees, only very selected devotees, could have seen the whole Panchatattva coming, when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and his companions were already gone, at that particular time, some devotees could still see them coming physically, but to them, what was physically, participating in the kirtan. So, it's not that just anyone can see that. The quality of life has to be, you have to have some qualifications to be able to see that. In this particular case, was the devotees for so much love for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they will come. And Srinivasacharya will also, in his hankering for meeting Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, Lord Chaitanya, every time he wanted to go and meet them, he will hear that they already departed, they already left this world. But the Lords will come, and Sanatan and Rupa will come to him. It appears to them, appears to him. So I don't know if that fits to the question he asked.
Okay, I think we'll stop here. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you.